Alvy, if you don't mind, I do not wish to take liberties, but I'll take that deck of yeah a day early. I'm feeling good about a Thursday. What's cracking? Now, I did naively assume that if I woke up this morning, it would finally be dry here in SoCal, and that there would be no more tornadoes. There was at least one tornado in L.A. yesterday. No joke. And another one near my former stomping grounds in Santa Barbara. Freaking tornadoes. That is so weird. Normally, weird is good. A tornado in L.A. is not good. Man, that is weird, yo. Welcome to the program. Nice to be here. Not good. Below, not good. Tornadoes are not good. Not used to that. All right, so lots to get to. Got a really good show for you. There is some amazing ball tonight. Sweet 16 action. We are all over it. Love the matchups. Let's get into it. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. I know what you really want to know. I know what's really on your mind on a Thursday. Rome, when are we going to beef? Top of hour number three. I love the beef segment there. We do it every single Thursday, so I'm going to jump ahead of my interviews, and I have two really good interviews, but the beef segment's hour number three, so if you're wondering about that, get yourself together, think about what it is you want to beef about. As you know by now, that segment's wide open. I don't care what your beef is, just make sure you bring it to me. Call with a beef, tweet with a beef, email with a beef. Be ready at the top of hour number three with your beefs. In the meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You can hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the aforementioned interviews, Kelvin Sampson is going to join me once again. He is the head basketball coach at Houston. They're having another incredible year. Back in the Sweet 16, as you probably know, the Final Four is in Houston. It's all setting up, right? But you got to get through the next one, and the next one's going to be tough. Always good to talk to Kelvin. Looking forward to it. Coming up at the top of hour number two, the interim head coach at Texas, Rodney Terry. I've not spoken to him. I'm looking forward to that. Rodney Terry coming up. Texas has had a rather amazing year, right, with all the tumult that was there and the coaching change, and he's there, and he kept that thing on the tracks. Players love him. They play hard for him, and they've got a good look at it too. So Kelvin Sampson and Rodney Terry, back-to-back, 9:40, 10 o'clock, beef segment, 11 o'clock. And in the meantime, I'm looking for you clones to step up and make it better. Also, great, great conversation with Bob Myers that I want to reset. I've kind of gotten away from that. We have this great side hustle that I do every single week, and I've done for several years. And I used to talk it up more on the program because I'm trying to get you to go over there. There's premium content over there. There's free content over there. But I've had so much going on day to day that I've gotten away from that. So I kind of want to reset that a little bit. Great conversation with Bob Myers. And I'll reset that for you a little bit later on. So that's what we're looking at. Let's get right to it. Where I do want to start is with one of the stranger things that I've ever seen in the association. Really weird play. And it was really good in the sense that it was really weird. Really good for team content. But really bad for Team Dallas Mavericks. You know how I always say that? Weird is good. Weird is good for team content. Yet generally, except for the team that it happened to, the Mavericks. So, if you saw this, you know what I'm talking about. If not, let me reset it really quickly for you. The Mavericks have the Warriors at home last night. If you're aware of the Dubs road record this season, even Bob Myers brought it up before I could get to it. If you're aware of their road record, it's really weird. They're not good at all on the road. In fact, they've been pretty bad on the road this year, Golden State. So you knew, and Dallas knew this, this was a great opportunity for them to get a win. A win they badly need, since right now they're tied with the Lakers in the West, barely holding on to a play-in spot. But you know what really doesn't help you win games during the home stretch of the NBA season? Failing to guard your own basket. In fact, failing to guard your own basket will never help you win any NBA games during any stretch of any season. Failing to guard your own basket doesn't even work at your local run, at your local gym, or at the Y. It is not a winning strategy. That's not a play you want to incorporate. And yet, this is happening in the association. And yet, there were the Mavs, late in the third quarter of an enormous game, just giving away a free bucket.
This would be the night to really look for those twos in attacking.
No, what is going on?
Dallas decided not to guard their own basket.
That is
awesome.
That's going on Shaq of the Fool right there.
They were all on the wrong side. That's their basket. That's the Warriors' basket. We just saw Jordan Poole dunk on that side. And the Mavs line up to defend on the wrong side.
All right, so that's the start of nobody understanding what the hell is going on. Well, Golden State did.
What is going on?
What's going on? What are we doing here? So a really bizarre play. So what happens here, I'll do my best to try and explain this. The Mavs come out of a timeout. They all head down to the other side of the court. Meanwhile, the Dubs come out, and they line up underneath the Mavs basket, right where the prior play ended. Jordan Poole realizes that the Mavs are completely out to lunch and starts to beg for the ball. The ref flips it to him. Poole flips it to Kevon Looney. Looney throws it down. The Mavs crowd groans collectively.
What is going on?
One of the weirder plays that I've ever seen in a basketball game that mattered. But bleep happens, right? You flush it, you move on. However, it is a little tough to just move on when that happens in a game that you end up losing by only 2 points, which is, of course, exactly what happened last night, which is where this story is headed. Final score, scoreboard, look up at it. Dubs 127, Mavs 125. So, yes, they really lost by 2 points. And, yes, they were going to make a really big deal about it after the fact. I mean, if you want, you could try to argue that the Mavs effectively lost by those 2 points. That's what they're trying to argue. Those two free points. And then you can chase that with a giant, oh, and a slow-mo Carl Lewis while you're at it. I mean, the Mavericks seriously lost a critical game by 2 points after giving away a free bucket in one of the strangest plays ever. Naturally, Mark Cuban was not amused. Cubes was not pleased. Cubes was heated. And when Cubes gets heated, he doesn't take his shirt off. He reaches for his phone. Reached for his phone, jumped on Twitter, and thumbed out the following lava. At M. Cuban, quote, "For those wondering about the play with 1:54 to go on the third, let me explain what happened. The ref called Mavs ball. The announcer announced it. Then there was a timeout. During the timeout, the official changed the call and never told us. Then when they saw us line up as if it were our ball, he just gave the ball to the Warriors. Never said a word to us. They got an easy basketball. Crazy that it would matter in a two-point game. Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. All they had to do was tell us, and they didn't." End of tweet. Quote, "Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. Yo, that's bold. What do you think that's going to cost Cube? Man, I am so glad that he's as rich as he is. What do you think that's going to cost my dude? He also said the Mavs would be filing a protest with the league. So that's Dallas' side of the story. As for the ref show, here is the explanation of crew chief Sean Wright. Quote, "Initially on the floor, the original signal was, in fact, Golden State ball, as this can be seen on video. There is a second signal, but that signal is for a mandatory timeout that was due to the Mavs." End of quote. All right, so again, super confusing, super convoluted. But when you check the footage, it all pretty much scans. In fact, when you check the footage, it's hard to figure out how it all got so twisted. The ref immediately and clearly signals Golden State ball, then points to the Mavs bench. Now, to Cube's point, Cuban says the PA announcer announced that it was Mavs ball. But that doesn't officially mean anything. It might explain the confusion, but it doesn't make it official. The Mavs also say that there was a ref up the floor, seemingly in position to restart the play as the Dallas ball from a side out. All right, but the problem with that explanation is you cannot advance the ball on a timeout in the third quarter. Also, I know this is confusing as hell. Also, the ref that restarts the play needs to have the basketball to restart the play, and the ref that had the basketball was standing under the Mavs hoop, not on that side of the floor. Are you following all this? Are you keeping up with me? All right, listen. You probably need somebody.
Are you following me, camera guy?
You're following me, camera guy. You're following me, microphone guy, radio guy, any guy. You probably need somebody more credible than me to explain it. Because if you're confused, you're not the only one. What is going on? Everybody's confused. I'm confused. I spent the entire morning trying to figure out how to explain to you all what went down last night. And this is what I've come up with. You know what? Let me go to a greater authority, way greater than myself. Jason Kidd, of all people, who has always seen the game differently than anybody else, will be able to clear this all up. Jay, explain exactly what happened, please.
If there's confusion, it's easy to just come in and blow the whistle and get us restarted. Because it was confusion. Understanding that we thought it was our ball. The referee pointed towards our bench, but that was the signal of the timeout. And so, but there was confusion on the play before it even started with whose ball it was, because he pointed, I thought, to us first, and then he changed it and then went to a timeout and pointed to us. So as I asked Mike, I said, Mike, why are you down the floor if it's not our ball? And so. There was quite a few people out of position on that play. It's easy, it's correctable, but you first have to admit there was a mistake.
Oh, there you go. Why didn't I just say that? I should have just started right there, because that cleared up exactly nothing. My man, I think I'm even more confused now than I was before. But I will agree with this much, quote, quite a few people out of position on that play. I'll agree with that. I'll also agree with somebody's got to admit that somebody made a mistake. I mean, there's a mess down here on aisle four.
Call someone.
Can somebody call someone?
Someone call someone.
That's true. Somebody did make a mistake. And somebody's got to admit that somebody made a mistake. Let me try to cut through all of this one last time. First, in terms of the protest, because there's going to be a protest. A successful protest is incredibly unlikely in this scenario because it's incredibly unlikely in any scenario. There has not been a successful protest in the association since January of 08 when Shaq somehow fouled out with only five fouls. That one's pretty black and white, right? The incident last night is anything but. So good luck with the protest, Dallas. You're not going to win that. Here's another thing that I do know. The Mavs did not actually lose that game on that play. That seems pretty obvious. There's nothing confusing about that. It seems pretty obvious, but apparently it still needs to be said. They had an entire quarter after that play to go win that game. They had an entire game to win that game. That was just one weird play. One really weird play. That did not cost them that game. And here's one more thing that I know. They actually got over. They actually got a good break last night. One thing actually did go their way. They actually, instead of killing the ref show, should be thanking the ref show. They're lucky that Luka did not get his ass run on his first game back from injury for flashing a money sign at the ref in the fourth quarter. Or it would be the next game. Because when the guy went with that money sign, he was implying that they were on the take. He was, in fact, asking, who's paying y'all? He comes down from the second floor. I said it for you, clones. You don't need to waste my time with that. Luka came down from the second floor. His name is Luka. He came down from the second floor. And he made his return from injury and then immediately went all Johnny Idiot face with it. And the refs could have teed him up for that. And if they did tee him up for that, that would have been his 16th tech of the season, which would have automatically...
Johnny, idiot face.
Thanks, Alvin. Today would be great. Way to get that in the same segment. Alvin, idiot face.
I live upstairs.
Don't turn that up loud on me because I, Alvin, idiot faced you. It just came out, Alvin, idiot face. I'm sorry. Wow, dude, that's loud. You turn that down a little bit. This is how my engineer communicates with me live. He just starts blasting drops at me. Oh, I'm out of touch. Alvin, idiot face.
Love to see it.
This dude. Use your words, not your drops. Communicate with me directly, Alvin, idiot face. All right, so anyway, my point here is, this guy is going with the Johnny idiot face money sign to the refs. If they hit him with a T, that's number 16 on the year, and then the Mavs lose him for a game. So they actually got over. Maybe instead of blaming, protesting, and pointing the finger at the ref show, they should thank the ref show. And the fact is, that bizarre, quirky, extremely weird free bucket should have just been that. An extremely weird, bizarre, quirky, free bucket. And not some gigantic hot button issue tied to some bigger conspiracy about the ref show having it in for the Mavs. I mean, please. The refs suck for everyone. Every night. I know you know this, Dallas, because everybody knows this. The whole situation is just weird. One of the more weird plays ever, like tornadoes in L.A. weird. But no, that one goofy play did not cost you that game, and you're not going to win that protest either. Which brings me back to my other point. The only question now is, since you're not going to win the protest, is how much of a fine are we talking for what Mark Cuban tweeted? Multiple tweets cracking the refs for making the worst mistake in the history of the NBA, being on the floor, or more specifically, at the scorer's table. How great would that have been if Mark Cuban, he jumped up on the scorer's table, a la my guy Muss, and ripped off his shirt, and just started cracking on the ref show? I mean, how much money are we talking about? What are we talking about here? I mean, I know that Mark Cuban has donated a lot of money to the ref show or to charitable causes because of the ref show over the years. But think about this for a minute. This isn't money that he's going to pull out of the ashtray in the Phantom. This is not money that he's going to pull out of the couch cushions in the mansion. Remember, he once got tagged 500 gur for cracking Ed Rush. Another 500 gur for a goaltending call against the Hawks in 2020. How about that $600,000 bill about fixing the officiating in the league? Like, I'm not going for a lame bid here, but we're like practically going The Price is Right. Guess the fine. I mean, if we were turning this into a Price is Right gig and we were guessing the fine, Jim, what's your bid? 700 grand. And then we move to the next guy, and the next idiots turn around looking at the audience, because none of these idiots can ever make a decision on their own. Like, they got to get it from their boy, or their wife, or their high school teacher in the back row. Oh, 700 grand and $1. A-hole. That guy. Effectively squeezing me out, rendering my bid meaningless. Hey, rando next to me who couldn't make a decision on their own, way to cut my legs out from underneath me with that 700 grand and a dollar bid. Anyway, weird stuff last night. But that should have been what it was, just weird stuff last night in one game. wouldn't you know it would come down to a two-point game? Because if that game, if Dallas had taken care of their business the way they should have taken care of their business and won that game, then we wouldn't be talking about this. But then again, team content doesn't win, and I don't get a 20-minute open over the weirdest thing ever.
What is going on?
So thank you very much. Man, how awesome is it that that game came down to a bucket? If they win that game by eight, I got to find a new open. Thank you very much. Hey, Matt, why are you taking credit for it? Matt, what did you have to do with that?
Outro.
Matt? No, Matt. Matt, you weren't even there.
You're welcome.
Anyway, there's that. Wild stuff. In addition to that, you want to know something wild? I want to talk baseball again. 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row, I want to talk baseball. And what I want to do is talk about how awesome baseball is. 2 days in a row. But why won't they let me? Because baseball went baseball again. Isn't it incredible that baseball can have an all-time great moment? Well, for baseball. And then almost give it all back for one of the dumbest things ever. It was, this is incredible. This is a true story. I'm not embellishing this. When I left the studio yesterday, I had to run around town and do a few things. I heard people in public talking baseball. I'm not making that up. That's not some hot take.
What?
I heard actual human beings discussing baseball in public. And not only discussing it, but discussing how awesome it was.
What?
Rogan Loam comes home last night. I'm like, yo, dude, did you see Ohtani Trout? And even Rogan Loam, 18 years old, was all over it. Somebody under the age of 180 was into it. It was so great.
Scrumptious.
Good job, Albie. Until they went baseball and almost gave it all back. And I'll have that story for you, too. In addition, this is really crazy. So, not only am I going to talk baseball 2 days in a row, damn it, I'm talking hockey. I have a hockey thought. If ever there was a thing or a person that deserved the Phil Jackson treatment, the Phil Jackson treatment of, I mean, give me some credit. Some bleeping credit for real.
Credit.
It's Connor McDavid. Can this guy get some bleeping credit? For real.
Credit.
So Bella will like that. For real. She loves when I talk hockey. I've got Kelvin Sampson coming up.
When you talk hockey.
You know, Kelvin's going to be dropping some wisdom. Always love getting caught up with him. Rodney Terry, the interim head coach at Texas, joins me at the top of hour number two. And for a lot of you, most importantly, the beef segment, top of hour number three. Beef. The biggest college basketball tournament is underway. You know this. We're on to the Sweet 16. Get down. Get after it on DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. How do you beat that? Plus, combine the multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. That's fun, too. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odds boosts all tournament long. So if you have not done so yet, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sign up with the code ROME, R-O-M-E. Use my code name if you want that. New customers, again, can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. You have to use the code ROME, though, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, and you do have to be present in a state where it's lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Then call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions do apply. Terms at sportsbook.DraftKings.com/basketball terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so heads up, short segment. One, because I opened up my mouth and diarrhea came flowing out in the first segment. Or lava. Whatever it was, a lot of it came flowing out. So I got to be mindful of this segment. I can't make it a long segment because I've got back-to-back interviews coming up starting next segment. So some quick reaction. If you missed the open, I want to remind you, the beef segment's top of hour number three. So if there's something bothering you, I'm here for it. Normally, I don't want you coming in here and complaining. We're looking for you to make it better. Elevate the conversation. Stay positive. Stay upbeat. Except on Thursday for the beef segment, and then do whatever the hell you want. Top of hour number three. Jamie in Green Bay writes, watch out, or Alvin is going to run you, Rome. Don't bite the hand that controls the board. Yeah, but if he does, hell, he could send me home for all I care. In fact, do it. Do it. Like Alvin's that ref. He's like Scott Foster. Like I'm pushing him. Do it. Do it. Team me up, dude. Hey, Alvin, idiot face, do it. I dare you. Team me up, man. Team me up. Throw me out of here. Team me up. Because that'll make 16, and then I get the next show off. Hey, Rome, this whole Mavericks, Mark Cuban, Jason Kidd referee deal has led me to the land of confusion, signed Phil Collins. Aaron in Iowa. Two things. Stop trying to jam takes into songs. And technically, Aaron, if I'm not mistaken, it's Genesis, not Phil Collins. So what that means is you're the one who's in the land of confusion, you hypocrite. Come on, Aaron. Get right, dude. And finally, hey, Jim, I saw this morning that you guys had a tornado touchdown out there. Now I'm sitting here waiting for you all to have a tsunami slam into the coast because that's exactly what needs to happen next. Regards, Adam in Northwest Philly. Two things, Adam. Why does that need to happen next? Why are you rooting for tsunamis, Adam, against us? And number two, dude, don't joke. Because that seems pretty likely at this point. Not possible, but likely. Let me tell you something. A tsunami is more likely than a tornado. And not only did a tornado happen yesterday, it happened twice. Dude, this is not Texas. We have a lot of natural disasters here, but tornadoes aren't one of them. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen an actual tornado, and I saw two yesterday. Weird. All right, let me get out so I can stay on my clock. Kelvin Sampson, scheduled to join me next. Rodney Terry, top of the hour. So back to back. A couple of Sweet 16 coaches. Beef segment, top of hour number three. Time to get you a sports update, man. Good Thursday. It's a great Thursday. In fact, here is the very latest. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Amazing matchups in the Sweet 16. Can't wait. The big head, James Kelly, and I will do a big head bet segment tomorrow. Not today, but tomorrow. At Joel Harm 73 tweets, damn straight there were tornadoes in L.A. last night. That was at Lakers fan rushing to their closets to get those flags out on their cars after watching street clothes drag them to the 10th spot in the West with a win over the Suns. We are back, baby. Maybe. Maybe. Especially with the Mavericks letting a golden opportunity like that slip away. Especially with playoff P having to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. Especially with the West being as jammed up as it is right now. They might be back. Hey, Jim. What a great showdown between Trout and Ohtani. Could you imagine if they were on the same team? How crazy would that be to see? Best double rainbow guy.
Oh, my God.
Ian in Chicago.
Oh,
did you see that in the comment section? People actually said that. It ought to be funny. Like, those who didn't know were like, can you imagine if those dudes were on the same team? That's the problem. They are. Did you see my play? Did you hear me go single rainbow guy the other day? If you did and you're not following me on Instagram, I went single rainbow guy. When I went to L.A. midweek and I drove back down from L.A. to the O.C. where I live, I saw the most magnificent single rainbow. I went single rainbow guy. But if you didn't check out my story, you didn't get it. And you know, Instagram stories work. They only stay up there 24 hours. It's not archived. It's not cataloged. You missed a golden opportunity for me to go single rainbow guy. Do that right now. It's not too much to ask. Just follow me on Instagram. At Jim Rome. At Jim Rome. Because things like that happen. You don't want to miss it. Dear Jim, Phil Collins sucks. He's why I left the band. Get that music out of the Stu studio. Signed, Pete Gabriel. Jake in New York City. I'll allow that. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Houston Cougars. 9 years there now. He has led them to the Final Four in 2021, to the Elite Eight last season, back in the Sweet 16 again. He is a four-time AAC Coach of the Year, including this season. The Cougars are 33-3. They were 17-1 in conference play. They are the top seed in the Midwest. They play the five seed. Big challenge. Miami tomorrow night in Kansas City. Kelvin Sampson is my guest. Kelvin, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How about you?
Doing great, Kelvin. Doing great. Always good to visit with you. So that is four straight Sweet 16s. I want to say for the program, it's a great accomplishment in and of itself. It's something you're used to. But let me ask you, does it feel like business as usual, or does this feel a little bit different this time around?
I think business is usual because of our approach to everything we do. You know, I wouldn't say we're monotone, but we're just, there's not a lot of highs and lows with us. It's the first time I've heard somebody say out loud our schedule, our record. When we said 33-3, you would think, okay, that's a powerhouse record, but we've had so many games where we struggled the first half and had to win the second half, or had a great first half and kind of fell apart a little bit the second half, and you're winning and you're winning and you're winning, but at no point in time does it ever feel easy or feel like we're dominating. You know, we've struggled in so many games. Now, early in the year, winning at Oregon gave us some confidence at the time. Winning at Virginia gave us some credibility and confidence at the time. And then going undefeated on the road in conference, 9-0, I don't remember, other than maybe one or two, any of those games being, quote-unquote, easy. So that's why I would say it doesn't feel different. It just feels like, you know, we lost four senior starters on last year's team, and most of the guys we replaced them with are kids that's coming off major surgery or freshmen. So this is a completely new team from last year, and that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it challenging. And proud of this group for sure, what they've accomplished thus far.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. I hear what you're saying, Kelvin. Like, you're right. When you look at it on paper, 33-3 sounds like absolute domination. It sounds like maybe there were times where it was easy. You know, I was talking to my guy, Eric Musselman, also the other day, and Mus made the point, Kelvin, I know you'll agree, nothing is easy. It's not easy to win. It's not easy to win in the tournament. It's not easy to advance. None of this is easy. You know, it's interesting when you say that it's business as usual because we're almost monotone. What I find interesting about that statement is you might be, quote, almost monotone, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of love in that program. How would you describe the brotherhood that is Houston Cougar basketball?
You know what I love about our program is that everybody doesn't get treated the same necessarily as far as roles and things. But everybody has the same role in the program, in that the coaches are we're gonna coach them hard, we're gonna hold them accountable, and I think that's where they get their bond, is that if you mess up, if you don't do the right thing, you know, we're gonna get on you and hold you accountable, and they've all been through that, so nobody gets special treatment or preferential treatment. Marcus Sasser is no different than Terrence Arsenault, who's no different than Emmanuel Sharp, Jamal Shedd. And I think because these kids come from good backgrounds, they have good families, they play for good high school coaches or good AAU coaches. You know, we get to coach basketball and not have to worry about dealing with discipline problems. And that's a big advantage early, is you get to teach and coach and not always bringing kids to your office like you're the principal, put them in detention or something. So, and that creates a brotherhood. You know, these kids know that they're playing for something bigger than themselves. And in this day and age, that's more difficult to achieve than ever before because of all the rewards that can somehow become distractions that are out there for them, whether it's NIL or social media, agents. And there's so many things out there to distract these kids. And you've got to have a strong culture within your program so they'll remember and not forget why we're here and why we're doing this.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joining us. You know, you have that culture, Kelvin. You and I have talked about the fact that on some level it's a family business, and I say that because for those who don't remember, your son Kellen is the team's top assistant. Your daughter Lauren is the director of basketball ops. Family and business, Kelvin, do not always work out. I know because I worked in the family business, and my father fired me. Business is business. I got to know, or I want to ask, what's it like to work with Kellen and Lauren? And would you still be doing it if they were not by your side?
Well, Jim, that's probably the best question I've been asked the entire year. I don't know if I would be. You know, we all learn from someone. You know, we live lives where we have to learn from mistakes. And this might be a newsflash to certain people, but we all make them. You know, mistakes are part of life. It's not the mistakes. It's how you respond to them, obviously. So my father was a high school basketball coach at the time of segregation and nine-month contracts. That means that 3 months a year, he had to figure out how he was going to feed his family and put food on the table. My school closed for the fall. He's June, July, and August, he had to hustle. My dad taught driver's education. He worked at tobacco markets, picking up back off the floor and putting them in sheets and sending them to plants around North Carolina and Virginia. He sold Lincoln Life Insurance. He sold World Book Encyclopedias. He just worked, and that taught me a lot. And I've tried to bring that same work ethic to my kids. Kellen and Lauren, and they're like that. So they're not people that feel like they're, you know, above anybody else. They don't feel that way. So they're hard workers, and I think that's been the key to our program is that everybody has the same expectations, and if you don't do what's expected, you're going to be held accountable, and that's the standards that we've set here. But those two are a big reason why we've been successful. You know, your head coach probably gets way too much credit. I have such a wonderful staff. My starting point guards on my 2002 Final Four, my 2003 Elite Eight team, Hollis Price and Quanis White, they've been right there with us shoulder to shoulder every step of the way. So it is family. It's family. And it's basketball family, and it's been a pleasure for me to work with these Kellen and Lauren and Hollis and Quanis, because they've improved so much, and they have so much to do with the success of this program.
Awesome. Just awesome. Kelvin Sampson joining us. Kelvin, before you go, Miami is the ACC champ for a reason, man. They're good. They're really nice. What kind of thoughts do you have as you watch them on tape, and might they be the best offensive team you've seen this year?
No question. No question, they are. Miller, you know, Wong is the ACC Player of the Year. And if you talk to the coaches in the ACC, the one that they talk about right with Wong is Miller. You know, he's old school game, smart, crafty, tough, knows how to play. Nigel Pack, the kid that transferred from Kansas State, a little keg of dynamite, great range, quick, smart. Old They've got a coach that I could explain exactly or describe the same way I just described their players. Jim knows what he's doing. He's been around. There's nothing he hasn't seen. What he's done at the University of Miami is incredible. But that their starting lineup is an issue. The kid that doesn't get talked about enough, though, is Omer, the five-man. You know, they run a five-out offense a lot. And a lot of time, he's a trigger man. Great screener, roller, good passer. But he's probably the best two-way rebounder we've faced. We've faced maybe a better defensive rebounder or somebody just as good an offensive rebounder. But nobody can do both. He had 17 his last game, 14 the game before that. So he's, in the first two rounds, he had 31 rebounds. Are you kidding me? You know, we have guys that get 8 or 9 rebounds. We're excited. This kid's averaging almost 16 rebounds a game in 2 games against 2 good teams. So they're good at everything. You know, on our way to the Elite Eight last year, we had to beat the Big Ten champs in Illinois, Pac-12 champs in Arizona. Thus far this year, we played Auburn, who's a very talented team, and now you got to play the ACC champ. But you know what, Jim? That's what it's all about. If you go to advance, you don't have to play.
That's how it is. That's how it is, Kelvin. You know it. You know it.
Well,
Kelvin, listen,
up, man.
Great to have you on the show. Really appreciate you, Kelvin. You know that. Good luck. Great talking to you. Cougs, 33-3, 17-1, and they've got Miami tomorrow night in Kansas City. What a great matchup. Thanks to Kelvin Sampson. We'll come right back.